This shiur has been brought to you from the Sharim Audio Library. For information about Sharim or to order additional CDs, please visit our website, www.sharim.com, or email sharim@sharim.com. Thank you for making Sharim part of your continual learning experience.
Perek Chamishi, we're in the fifth perek, in the grey book of the Derech Hashem. It's page 74. I'm going to get a running start, as we said. Okay? We're gonna get a running start on this chapter because we were in the middle of something, and it's only a page away. So we're just gonna start from the top again. I'll read it in English to just facilitate the understanding. Creation in general consists of two basic parts, the physical and the spiritual. The physical is that which we experience with our senses, and this in turn is divided into the terrestrial and the celestial. The celestial includes such heavenly bodies as stars and their planets. The terrestrial includes everything in the lower sphere, the earth, water, and atmosphere, and every detectable thing they contain. Okay? So the physical part is basically whatever we can zoom in with our senses. Whatever we can smell, we could hear, we could see. That's in the physical world. It's important to have these two things split up for the very simple reason that when you want to know when something happens, so you have to know where to point your finger. The spiritual consists of all entities which are not physical and which cannot be detected by physical means, right? So the spiritual realm is everything that basically we cannot see. Everything that we can't sense, we can't see. You know, we think we have an idea of what an angel might look like, but that's just because we've watched too many movies. All right? We think we know what a bad angel looks like. He's got a pitchfork and a long tail and red horns. He has a cape. And he knocks on your door and asks you for candies on Halloween, but that's not what it necessarily is, obviously, okay? These, in turn, are also divided into two categories, souls and transcendental beings. There are souls and beings that are spiritual, okay? So we have the physical world and the spiritual world. Souls comprise a class of spiritual entities created to be put into physical bodies, to be joined and strongly bound to these bodies. The soul is a spiritual entity, which you can't see, you can't measure. You know when it's there and you know when it's not, but that's all you know about it, right? But when a person passes away, before he dies and after he dies, he's the same person physically. His body's still warm. What has left in his soul? You can't put a cage on it. You can't stop it if you hold your nose. You know it's not. It's going to do what it's going to do. Acting upon them in order to perform various functions in them at different times. So we're composed of this mixed together of a soul and a physical body. Transcendental beings comprise a class of spiritual entities that are not created to be put into physical bodies. Okay, there are certain beings that are not in physical bodies whatsoever. These in turn are also divided into two categories. The first category consists of forces, kochot, and the second, angels. These transcendental beings also exist on different levels. Okay, these spiritual beings also have their own levels as well, each type having its own laws and distinct nature, depending on its level and place in the general scheme. For example, we find with Avram Avinu that three angels came to visit him. Each one had a separate task. Right? Why is that each one has a separate task? Because in the heavens, everything works similarly through a court system. Okay? We'll see soon that everything that happens in this world occurs through angels. What does that mean? They're a malach. Is another translation of it is a messenger. So the question that we have to ask ourselves, I guess we'll speak about a little bit more at length later, why does God perform everything through angels? Why does He do everything through angels? We'll talk about that a little later. So great is the variation between different angel types that each group can be called a different species in general class. Okay. We have the angel that was going to heal, the angel that was coming to destroy, and the angel that was coming to let Avraham Avinu know that he's going to have a child next time this year. Now, these are spiritual beings. It's not like they get tired or they forget. Why can't you just have one? Why can't you just have one angel do everything? Physically capable? The answer is because God set up the world similar to the way we see it here. There's a court system. There's a judgment. There's good and evil. They sit in a court case. God listens. And God sends out messengers to perform things. We'll see soon that every blade of grass has an angel standing above it, telling it to grow. Angels can do one job at a time. There are certain angels that come to pray before God once every 1,000 years. They're most frequent. The ones pray before God is once a day. And the Jewish people pray three times a day before God. In addition to that fact, the Syrians, for example, when they pray, they go like this. They turn to the left and turn to the right. They do like that motion. What is that? It's almost like they're asking the angels that are accompanying them permission that we're going to talk to God now. And it says in the halakha that before a person goes to the bathroom, he says hitchabdu mechubadim, like he's telling the angels wait outside. She didn't mean that. She's just a kid, don't worry about it. I don't know the exact technicalities of like how it works, but I'm assuming they wait outside. But we're not going to get into the topic too much. But the reason that we don't say that today is because we're not necessarily on that spiritual level where they would accompany us so closely, whatever that means exactly. Okay? You don't have to be insulted, don't worry. So if you thought you were alone, never really. Right? There's a total different spiritual realm that exists. And for example, when we come home Friday night, what do we say? Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem. Right? These angels are accompanying us from synagogue. Two angels, one on the right, one angel on the right, one on the left. It's a reality. We don't see it. We can't sense it. They do say that a dog can sense Eliyahu Navi. That's why generally it's not so accepted within the Orthodox realm to have dogs. Because he can sense Eliyahu Navi, and Eliyahu Navi won't come into the house because of him. Gone. There is, however, another class that is like an intermediate between the spiritual and the physical. This consists of entities that cannot be detected by physical means and are not bound by the limitations and laws of ordinary detectable matter. For this reason, they might improperly be considered spiritual. There's another entity that might be considered spiritual. Their essence, however, is very different from that of the angelic class, even though they may resemble them in some ways. These entities also have specific attributes and unique limitations based on their true nature. They are therefore considered a separate class, namely that of Shaydin, demons. Okay, that's what we had spoken about last week. There's another level called of demons. What's that? They're like half spiritual and half human, half physical. Okay, this class also contains a certain individual type, where each type may be considered a separate species. All right, so that is the different species. Interestingly enough, there's a Gemara in Chagiga that says the following. Chagiga is a certain type of sacrifice. That's the name of the track type. And it's called as such, because it talks about those issues. It says like this. Tanu Rabbanan. Our rabbis have said, Shisha dvarim ne'emru b'shedim. There are six things that are said by demons. Shlosha ke'malachei asharet. There are three similarities that they have to angels. V'shlosha ke'bnei adam. And demons have three similarities to humans. So they have six traits. Three that are similar to angels, and three that are similar to humans. Shlushach k'malchei asharet. What are those that are similar to angels? Yesh lehem knafayim, they have wings. K'malchei asharet. So obviously angels have wings. V'tasin mesof ha'olam v'atzofo. K'malchei asharet. And they could fly from one edge of the world to the other, as angels can. V'yodim ma sh'atid liot. And they know the future. K'malchei asharet. As angels do. The Gemara says, Yudim, you want to tell me they can know the future? Nobody can know the future. Ela shomim machre apargod k'malachei asharet. But they hear in the heavens when something is about to occur. So a demon can hear like what's going on, what's going to happen. He doesn't know. He could hear from behind the pargod, like behind the veil, the curtain in the heavens, what's going to occur, type of experience, right? What are the three similarities that they have to man? Ochlin, they eat. Veshodim, and they drink. Kibin Adam, parim v'rabin, and they have offspring, kibin Adam.
Angels or demons?
Demons. There are three similarities to angels and three similarities to humans. Ochrim v'shotim kibin Adam, they eat and drink like humans. Parim v'rabin, they multiply like humans. Umetim kibin Adam, and they die like humans.
The children are also humans?
Yeah.
Are they amongst us?
Like, am I a demon? Is that what you're asking?
I don't think they're fly.
Wow, that was the nicest thing you said to me all day. I usually have students who say, like, no, that's not what I meant, or laugh. And I'll never have a student like, well, you really, I really do think you're a demon, but you don't have wings, and I've never seen you eat, so. Now, the Gemara continues, it talks about a similar topic. It says, there are six things that are human, six characteristics of a human. Three are similar to an angel, and three that are similar to an animal. So, Shachem and Chashachet, how are we similar to an angel? Yesh lehem da'at, we have knowledge like angels, and we walk straight like angels, right? And we speak Hebrew like angels. And we saplim b'lashon ha'kodesh, like the angels do. Those are the three similarities that humans have to angels. They speak Hebrew. Right, the three similarities we have to animals. We eat and drink like an animal. We multiply like the animals. And we use the bathroom like the animals. Those are the three similarities. It's interesting how the Gemara points it out. So, that's what this realm is called. Those are demons. And we've spoken about the story about Ashmedai, who was this demon that had the secrets. Ashmedai was this demon that has the secrets to where to find this like snail or what you want to call it, that had the capability of cutting stone on its own. Because in the temple they wouldn't cut stone with a sword, they would put a powder, and then the snail would walk over the powder and eat it, and thereby the stone would be cut in half or whatnot. Okay, so this demon knew where it was, and the only Shlomo HaMelech sent one of his soldiers out to catch him. Obviously it's not an easy task to catch a demon. You can imagine this huge thing that can fly with wings, right, from one end of the world to the other, right? And the only way to catch him was he put wine into his well, and he left it with, he had like a cover on top, he took a hole from underneath, drew out the water, put wine, sealed up the well, put wine into it from another hole. When Ashmedai came down, he saw that his well was untouched, he drank the wine, became drunk, and Shlomo HaMelech's soldier put a tassel, or something, a piece of metal, of gold on his forehead with God's name, and that for some reason neutralized this demon. He took him back to Shlomo HaMelech, and he asked him, Shlomo HaMelech asked him where it is. They found where the snail is and how to get it and how to capture it and all that stuff. And then the Ashmedai told Shlomo HaMelech, if you take off my tassel, I'll tell you, you know, I'll reveal to you all kinds of secrets. So as soon as Shlomo HaMelech took off his little strip he had on his forehead, automatically the demon banished Shlomo HaMelech into the wilderness or, you know, outside of the palace, and he took the form of Shlomo HaMelech. And then Shlomo HaMelech had trouble convincing people because, like I said, people didn't necessarily have pictures those days. But eventually he was able to regain his throne. Right? So that was the story with this demon. Okay? V'ulam, right? So those are the demons. Let's go now. We're in V'hineh Nivchan. This is page, V'hineh Nivchan is page 76. Okay, if you will. והנה נבחן ונבדל מן האדם לבדו להיות מורכב משני מיני בריאה נבדלים לגמרי. The human being is the only entity that is mixed from two opposites. דהיינו נשמה עליונה והגוף השפל. This soul that is high and elevated and his body that is materialistic and low. מה שלא נמצא בשום נברא אחר. This exists in no other creation in the world. They're on two opposite spectrums. Either he is spiritual or he is physical. But nothing is intertwined like us. So for example, a demon doesn't have a soul. Right? Doesn't have the neshama that we have. And that's why there's a constant battle going on within the human being. And a person feels like he's being torn to different places. Because it's actually a battle that's going on between his soul and his body. They're battling each other. The concept of Shetizael, you shouldn't think that animals are like humans. The nefesh, he doesn't have a soul in the shama. Notice he uses the word nefesh. The nefesh of an animal is physical. It's not spiritual at all. Now the Ramchal is going to say, mina dakim shebagashmit. It's physical, but it's one of the most thin aspects of materialism. So it almost resembles something spiritual. But it's not really a spiritual being, meaning the animal itself doesn't have a spiritual soul. It has a nefesh that's still a physical part. So for us it's hard to label these things, because we can't really put a finger on what do you mean by spiritual, what do you mean by physical. We can really just accept this type of information you know, especially the ramifications of it. But Ramchal is saying quite clearly that animals are in a different realm. This that they move around and walk, you know, and you know, might look sad and happy, does not mean that Nisalid has an neshama. Okay. Now the human being also has this type of nefesh. The human being is not just encompassed of a soul, but he has within him also a nefesh. Now the difference is between animals and humans. First of all, animals, it's for this reason that animals don't have a portion in the world to come. No animal is going to be in the world to come. In addition to that, not only is an animal not going to be in the world to come, but doesn't have a concept of sins and righteousness, you know, not being faithful to its local lion or something like that. You know, there's no such thing, because that all comes from the neshama. That all comes from the soul, those responsibilities. The nefesh is a materialistic part of it, which does not necessitate this type of behavior. Okay, it's a totally different being. So although we might get close to Sparky, and we might really love him, but he's definitely in a different league. Even though some people might treat their animals like they're not, and they take them to animal hotels and all kinds of stuff like that. But the truth is, there is still part of, a great part of society that does understand there is a difference between us and Sparky. Okay. Let's go on. Unam, zulat kol zayish b'adam neshama aliyona. A person has a higher neshama. So we've spoken about a general neshama, and he has now what's called a higher neshama. She min b'ri'a b'fnei atzmo. It's this total different creation. Nizdal min aguf legamrei. A person has a neshama in his body. You have within your body a neshama right here sitting with you now. Not only do you have within your body a neshama, you also have a neshama, a soul that's up in the heavens. And a tube, let's just call it a spiritual tube, that connects the two. Okay? So when they say, for example, your soul is shining, right? It doesn't necessarily mean your soul down here. Your soul is much bigger than what we see in front of us. It's actually your soul in the heavens. Everything that exists in this world has a replica in the heavens upstairs. Everything you see here is somehow connected to the heavens, and that's when it exists. When does something cease to exist? When it loses its life force from the heavens. And then the person, that's why it says before, you know, there's certain people that look because that evil people, even when they're alive, are considered dead. What does that mean, they're dead? He's walking. You know, he's done. What's done? His life source, his soul in the heavens is wiped out already. It's just a matter of, like, you know, it taking place. What type of sins are we talking about? Try to, like, I don't know everybody's level, so I don't like saying it in public. I mean, you've heard of certain things, and, you know, you could ask. Yeah.
But if you're cut off, then.
How many questions? Person. We're Sephardic. We get really nervous. Yeah. We're like, we're very nervous.
Yeah, with one, if a person. All
right. We'll spend 45 minutes, like, on the Shabbat table trying to get the person to say the right word. Person, what person? If someone, who's someone?
True.
Forget it, I don't want to say it anymore.
And
a being.
Someone's dog. And that.
Many talking.
That thing were cut off. How can they do tshuva if. Like, what does cut off really mean if you can just do tshuva and have it be okay again?
Okay, so this thing is like this. Let's say for.
And if you're still walking around, so it doesn't
let's
really
say, like,
that
let's say, for example. Let's say, for example, let's get myself into these things. Let's say, for example, I try so hard.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. Let's say, for example, let's say, for example, a person ate bread on Pesach. Okay? That's one of the things that's warranting chavet. Right? Now, if a person ate bread on Pesach, then God still, that means that, what is that officially he should be punished to receive karet, right? But God's patient. He says, I'm not gonna fulfill what I need to. I'm only gonna do it, you know, in two fashions. Either the person is gonna do tshuva, and then God's gonna wipe out the slate. Or if he does tshuva out of love, God actually gives him credit as if he ate matzah. Or A person's not going to do tshuva, and he's going to live his life, 70, 60, 70 years old, 80 years old, be very successful. And then when he gets upstairs, it's like pulling the cord of a computer. You ever be, you know, like in the middle of using the computer and somebody just pulls the cord on the screen, you hear a like that, right? That's what happens to a person's soul, if he performs, if he does things that are karet. Okay? There's different levels of karet as well. Okay, I don't want to talk about this. Okay, I don't know your personal level, and I don't like talking about like things that could make people too